Thanks for joining us on the Authentic Church Podcast. Let's jump right into this week's message.
If you have not been here over the last few weeks, we have been in a series titled Hard to Forgive. And the reality is this, we all want forgiveness, but it's very difficult to give out, especially when somebody has broken our hearts. And I believe by now we have talked about it all because we have been talking about the crazy, insane life of King David, who has dealt with a lot of things, right? We talked about betrayal. We talked about murder. We talked about adultery. We talked about family dysfunction. Did you know there's a lot of family dysfunction in the Bible? Did you know that? Even Jesus' own brothers didn't believe in him in the beginning. Later they did after his resurrection, but we all come from family dysfunction. That's okay, God can still use us. Doesn't matter where we come from or how crazy we might be, God can still use us today. But we see this dysfunction, and it's gotten worse within David's life. And so last week, we left off with the story where David has just fled from Jerusalem for his own safety. He's fled out of Jerusalem for his own safety because Absalom is leading a rebellion against him. And if you don't remember who Absalom is, he is one of David's sons. So think about it like this. A father is fighting a war with his son, because neither one of them knew how to say, I'm sorry, over the past hurt. Neither one of them knew how to have an honest conversation to say, hey, you know what? I messed up in some ways, and I'm sorry that I hurt you. Let's talk about this. Let me hold you in my arms. They couldn't get there, and because they couldn't get there, bitterness grew in Absalom's heart. And then he does the unthinkable, and he tries to target one of David's closest friends. And his name was Ahithophel. And if you know who Ahithophel is, we talked about it last week, he was one of David's counselors who led him into battle and told him what to do. And Ahithophel had this very crazy idea. And he tells Absalom, says, listen, if you really want to hurt your father, if you really want to get him back and devastate the relationship, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get on the palace roof, and I want you to sleep with 10 of his concubines in front of the entire nation of Israel. Said this before, the Bible's not boring, you're boring, okay? Like, it's crazy, some of the stories that you will read in here. Don't read that to your kids before nighttime. I would not suggest that one. But we see this in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 22. So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof of the king's palace. And Absalom went into his father's concubines and all the sight of Israel. So why would Ahithophel suggest such an awful, wicked thing for Absalom to do? It's because he had bitterness in his heart. And bitterness doesn't care about people, does it? The spirit of bitterness doesn't care about who it devastates and who it hurts and who it comes after. Bitterness cares about no one else. Why was Ahithophel so full of bitterness? Because remember who he was? He was Bathsheba's grandfather. And notice what he told Absalom to do. He said, I want you to sleep with 10 of his concubines on the palace roof, the same roof where David saw Bathsheba and decided to commit adultery. It's the same place. It's bringing up his past mistakes. It's a laugh in David's face with his own son because he wanted revenge. And revenge is evil and wicked. And it does not care about people. And so this happens in our life. And David even wrote a psalm about Ahithophel, about his betrayal in Psalms 41, verses 4 through 9. And he said, as for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned, God. I've sinned against you. I know that I have done wrong in my past. And my enemies speak evil of me, saying, when will he die? When will his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he speaks empty words, while his heart gathers malicious gossip against me. He goes away. He tells it to everyone else. All the people hate me. They whisper together about me. They plan to devise hurt against me, imagining the worst for me, saying, a wicked thing is poured out upon him and holds him. And when he lies down, he will not rise up again. What is David saying? He's saying, my friends, my so-called friends are coming up to me just to get information so they can gossip about me. They all want to slander my name. They're all saying, oh, God is really punishing him now for his past mistakes, even though David knew that he had been forgiven by the Lord. He had been set free by the Lord, but people were still talking and planning for him to fail. That's why you don't need to worry about what other people think. There will be people around you that just want to see you fail. because they're jealous over what God is giving you and what the Lord is doing in your life. Don't worry about them. Give them over to the Lord. Pray. Worship the Lord. That's what we see here with David. But he even said this. He said, even my closest friend in whom that I trusted ate my bread. Who ate my bread has lifted up his heel against me, betraying me. And this line that David is speaking about Ahithophel, guess what? It's the same line Jesus used to describe Judas. Did you know that? Let me show you here. Now, this is very interesting. John chapter 13, verse 18, Jesus said, I'm not speaking to all of you, talking to his disciples. I know whom I have chosen, but this has happened in order that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has raised up his heel against me as my enemy. Jesus used the same line to describe Judas's betrayal. So the title of today's message and how we're gonna end this series is with this. It is hard to forgive fake friends. It's very hard to forgive fake friends, people that you trusted, people that you told your deepest, darkest secrets to, and the moment they had an opportunity to embarrass you, they took it. Or maybe they stole from you, or maybe they stole a relationship from you, and they damaged everything in your life. How do you forgive somebody like that? And so we need to dive into this. I got a lot to show you today. Point number one is this: never listen to advice that dishonors God. Never, ever listen to advice that dishonors God. Now, in the church setting, we're like, well, duh. You know what I mean? Like, I would never do that. But let's be honest, that close friend of yours right now, are they listening to the Lord? Or are they telling you to do things that are different from the word of God? Are they trying to give you advice that doesn't go in line with the word of God? And so I don't care how close you are to them, how much you love them, right? How respected they are in the community. If they are telling you advice that goes against the word of God, it is a trap and you need to run right now. You need to walk away from the friendship or put some biblical boundaries there so that you don't fall into the trap. See, Absalom believed that everything that Ahithophel said was like from God. And we see this in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. It says, Absalom followed Ahithophel's advice just as David had done. His father had done this as well before. For every word that Ahithophel spoke seemed as wise as though it came directly from God himself. So in the past, Ahithophel gave some great wisdom to David on how to win the battle. He was the coach that you wanted to lead the team because he always showed you how to get victory. But now something has shifted. Something has changed. What happened to his counsel? Well, all of a sudden, the root of bitterness started to take root and consume his heart. And so when he used to speak from wisdom, now he is speaking straight from bitterness, which reveals a warning to us all. Here it is. Bitterness has the power to turn our best qualities sour. Bitterness has the power to turn our best qualities sour. Our talents, the things that we used to be good at, can be tainted because now we're driven by bitterness instead of for other people or for Jesus Christ. And so we're seeing this now. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Let me say this first too. It states it like this. Hebrews 12, verse 15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up. Why? Because it causes trouble only for you. Is that what the verse says? No, not only does it cause trouble for you, but what else? It defiles many. It's contagious. Bitterness is contagious. Have you ever been in a good mood? Everything's good. And then somebody walks into the room and they're just extremely bitter and negative about everything. And they start speaking, well, this day is not good. Everything's gonna mess up and you're gonna mess up. And now your mindset is damaged because you've been feeding on the words that they're serving you. And it's starting to get to your own heart. And now you're no longer believing in the promises of God because of the fruit that they are serving you. Bitterness produces rotten, sour fruit. That's what it does. That's what the devil wants to do in your life. Did you know that the number one way out of the Bible to tell if somebody is a follower of Jesus is by the fruit that they produce? Now, some of you may be saying, Pastor, I don't have a garden, so I don't know what you're talking about here. I'm trying to do my best. Kill every plant in my house. No, when we talk about fruits, we're actually talking about the things that you say, the things that you do, the way you react, the way you react. Listen, people are gonna hear your testimony on a stage, but they're gonna watch it in reality when you're going through a trial. When you're actually struggling and somebody's angry at you and coming at you, guess what? That's where they're gonna watch. What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? Because I heard that testimony. God gave you peace. You got peace right now? You know, like they're watching every move. So let the testimony become true completely, okay? Keep following the Lord. But we know this. In John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, and he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Listen to the wording there. If somebody in me does not bear fruit, they're not connected to me. They will be cut off. So then he says, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Meaning you could be doing the right thing and go through a pruning process. And I've learned that myself. What does that mean? That means sometimes God is gonna take people out of your life for a reason. Because there's a purpose that you need to get into, to step into. And it doesn't mean that these people are bad or wicked or anything like that. Just not everybody's meant for the promise you're going towards. And so sometimes the pruning process takes place, but listen to the wording here. It happens so you can become more fruitful. And sometimes, you know what else we do? We like to depend on people instead of God. And I'll reveal this again. I have shared this in the past. Somebody had a dream about me a long, long time ago about a pruning process, and they saw my leg cut off, and I know that's a little weird right there. But it was actually a good thing. And what God was showing them in the dream is that a new leg was growing, and it was stronger, it was better. But the hard thing about a pruning process is that sometimes the leg's not there. You know, and what you used to lean on is no longer there. So there's a process of just completely relying on God so God will give you more strength to do what he's called you to do. And you become more fruitful. I love that. That just really stood out to me in this verse, something I've never seen before. But then look at verse 5. He also says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Not because of you, but because of me remaining in you. Because you have a relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit is gonna use you. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. So when you're connected to Jesus and you have a relationship with Jesus, you will bear good fruit. You will produce encouragement. You know how important encouragement is to us? Some of y'all are like, well, I don't need anybody. Yes, you do. That's a lie. We know that's a lie, that we don't need anybody. We need somebody in our life just to encourage us when we feel down and everything is falling apart. That's good fruit. But at the same time, when you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're living for the world, there's a lot of darkness that's coming into your heart. And so that's flowing out of you. There is no fruit. But then when you are consumed by a sin, a root of bitterness, guess what? The fruit coming from your lips is bitter and sour and is rotten. And again, you're serving it on a platter for other people to eat. That's what you're serving them. In their life right now and what they're going through, you're speaking a lot of doubt that is invading their mind right now because it is a mental process. It defiles many. That's what the word of God is telling us. Bitterness wants to consume you and everybody in the room until you keep hurting each other because again, hurt people love to hurt people when we don't know how to get healing from the Lord. And so I also want you to notice the difference between Absalom's character and David's character. Remember, we talked about this before, King Saul, right? David knew that the Lord had anointed him to be the next king. He knew he would be a better king than Saul. But when he had the chance to kill Saul, did he take it? We talked about that, no. He felt guilty for cutting off a piece of his robe because he said, that's who the Lord placed in position, then it will be up to the Lord to take him out. But here's Absalom, the son of David. He doesn't care, he just wants to be king. He will take out his own father to step into the position because he has believed the lie that that position will fulfill me. How many of you have believed that lie as well? That position was gonna fulfill you. That amount of money was gonna make your life so much better. But how come now you're going through a season of loneliness like never before? Because you've deceived people or hurt people to get there sometimes. And again, if you have to do that to get into the position, then the position is not from God. It's from the enemy, but it's not gonna fulfill you. And so looking at the text now, okay, he listened to the advice of bitterness from Ahithophel. How dangerous can it be? Here's how dangerous it could be. First of all, 10 women were used and humiliated because of this. Think about that in the story. These women didn't have a choice. And they knew that they had to be on the palace roof in front of the entire nation of Israel in a tent. Everybody knew what they were doing. Absalom did not care about them at all. He just wanted to assert his dominance upon the kingdom. It was embarrassing and humiliating to them. And we know that there were 10 because when David left, he left 10 in charge of the palace. 2 Samuel 15, verse 16. But he left 10 concubines to take care of the palace. Absalom didn't care about the women. He didn't care about them. He just wanted to be king. He wanted to use them. Not only that, but he didn't care about his relationship with his father. In fact, Ahithophel had told him, listen, hey, if you go through it with this plan, you're going to ruin everything you have with your father. And he said, it's good. It's good. I don't care. We see this in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 21. Ahithophel told him, then all of Israel will know that you have insulted your father. Listen, beyond hope of reconciliation. He didn't care. He didn't care that he was committing a great sin against the Lord God. He did not care that he was committing treason against the nation of Israel. And so many would suffer because of the bitterness of Ahithophel's advice. But Absalom just wanted the kingdom. And he thought, listen, here's the lie. He thought he could establish his kingdom with immoral behavior. He thought he could establish his position with sin. I will move by sin to get the things that I want. I will hurt people. I will lie. I will betray. I will gossip. Whatever I got to do to get the things that I want. Listen to me. The Lord knows. You can't fool God. And when people don't know, it's okay. God knows. And God will reveal everything that is a secret, everything that is a lie. He will reveal to the people around you. But I couldn't help but notice Absalom followed this advice. Why? Because Ahithophel had his ear. So here's another warning for you today. Who has your ear? Who's in your ear? Because whoever has your ear also has the power to influence everything that you do. And this is why I say, listen, you need to pray over your friends. You need to pray over your groups. And some of us have gotten to the point where we're so devastated by friendships, we're like, I don't want to be a friend with anybody anymore. No, you just have allowed a lot of people into your life. You didn't guard your heart at all. You told them everything about your life, and you didn't notice the fruits that they were dishing back out to you, right? But who has your ear? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26 says, lovers of God give good advice to their friends, but the counsel of the wicked will lead them astray. What are your friends saying? We live in a culture today where some of y'all may be saying, well, I have friends in my life that say that they're for me, and I'm struggling with singleness right now, and they're telling me that I can just sleep around. It's no big deal just to sleep around. It's 2024, right? It's a new day today, and nobody really cares. It's just casual. I'll do whatever I want to do, but yet on the inside, you feel damaged, and you feel like your soul is starting to be destroyed and your heart is being broken in a lot of pieces. Why? Because according to the word of God, when you submit yourself to somebody in that way, guess what? You become one flesh according to the word of God. And in the eyes of God, that is the signature of marriage. That is the covenant right there. And so when you go from one partner to another partner to another partner and think that it's casual, guess what? In the spiritual world, you're being ripped apart over and over and over and over again, and you're feeling the devastation on the inside. Because the world has lied to you, or maybe that friend lied to you and said that it would be okay. But I'm here to tell you, our God is a good father. And Jesus knows your pain. He knows your past mistakes. And he's saying, listen, you can run to me today and I will heal you. He loves you. He already knows everything that you have failed in. He even knows the things that you haven't failed in yet. And he's still calling you by name. But some of us also have friends in our life that tell us to take revenge. They hurt you, right? And we live in a culture today where everybody gets on social media and they'll just post embarrassing pictures of people and they'll comment over and over again. And your friends will tell you to do the same. Go ahead and get them. But according to the word of God, dear friends, do not take revenge. Believe it in the hands of God. Leave it to the wrath of God, for he is the only just judge, meaning he can handle them better than you. Let it go. Take your hands off the situation. You could just sit down and let God work. Let God cook, however you want to say it, okay? Trying to be cool today, it's all right. But never listen to the voice of bitterness. It defiles many, it corrupts many, it hurts many. And so this leads to point number two, which is this though, and this is very important. If you are a boss, a leader in the room, just for your families, with friendships, Listen, this is super important. You always need to hear both sides of the story. Point number two, learn how to hear both sides of the story. I love Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. It states it like this. There are two sides of every story. The first one it speaks sounds true, right? Until that other person comes around. And then they speak their side and they set, I like how it's worded, they set the record straight. You realize that the first person to you wasn't telling you all the truth, was they? Were they? And if you're a parent in the room, you know what it's like with your kids. Sometimes you might have your kid run to you and be like, "Daddy, daddy, I was sitting down being perfect and my sibling decided to punch me and I did nothing. I did nothing, okay?" And then you go talk to the other sibling and you're like, "What? Were they just sitting there? No, they stole my candy. They call me names. So I popped them in the mouth." Okay, that's fine then. You know, like, I know that's the best parenting, but you know, you get what you do. Okay, so you sow what you reap. There you go. There's a lesson for your kids. But we know that when we hear both sides of the story, things can change a little bit. And for David, it was very important for him to find out who his real friends were by hearing both sides of the story. And sometimes he did that, but sometimes he didn't. And what I noticed in this story, okay, so now David has fled Jerusalem and he's going back into the wilderness. David's in his 60s now. Imagine how devastating that is, because the wilderness is where he went to run from Saul. And now he's in his 60s when everything should be good and set, and he's already been king over the palace, but he's running back into the wilderness again, running for his life from his own son. And so people start coming out of the woodworks. And that's what I noticed. It's kind of funny. It's crazy that when you're in the wilderness, people just show up out of nowhere. Let me give you this warning. God's going to send you great people. At the same time, the devil's going to send you people too. And you need to have discernment by the Holy Spirit to know who is being led by an evil spirit, okay? Or who is trying to deceive you or take advantage of you. Because sadly, the truth is when people know that you're down, they try to take advantage of you too. They try to take advantage of the situation, okay? So let's look at this. 2 Samuel chapter 15, 31 through 34. This is backing up the story a little bit. David is just now finding out about Ahithophel betraying him. This is before Absalom and Ahithophel have come into Jerusalem, before they did anything on the palace roof. Also want to say this, tough times reveal fake friends. But at the same time, here's the good news, tough times reveal true friends. And we see true friends come up to David. But again, 2 Samuel 15, 31 through 34, when someone told David that his advisor, Ahithophel, was now backing Absalom, David prayed. Will you underline that? He just found out that his best friend has betrayed him. A close friend who has helped him win battles before. He found out that he betrayed him, and then he prayed. And then it says, "Oh Lord," he's praying to the Lord, "let Ahithophel give Absalom foolish advice." Now, notice what David did that a lot of us don't know how to do sometimes when a good friend has betrayed us. David did not curse his name out. David did not slander his name to other people. And in today's culture, David didn't put it on the internet for everybody else to see. Instead, David heard his best friend has broken his heart and he runs immediately to God to pray. And here's what he prayed. I love this. He said, "God, take what this man is good at and make it his weakness. Take what this man seems to be vain about, because now he's going against you, and make it be used in a way that it makes him fall. For the pride always comes before the fall." Always. Take this man's strength. Take his gift. His gift was to give good advice. Make it foolish. Instead, what if you started doing that? Praying over your friends that have hurt you instead of trying to get back at them, saying, "God, you know what? What they were good at, make it look foolish. If they want to talk about me, insert their own foot in their mouth." Because we talked about this as well, that spiritual maturity means remaining silent too sometimes. Not speaking, because they're going to make themselves look foolish and you're just going to be sitting in the presence of God, letting him do his thing, okay? So pray that God will make them look foolish. Okay, and then immediately after this, now please see this in the story. Immediately after David prayed, "God, give me an opportunity." Guess what God does? He sends an opportunity through a man named Hushai, okay? And he's a good friend of David's, verse 32 through 34. when David reached the summit of the Mount of Olives, where people worshiped God. Again, look at what David's doing. He's worshiping the Lord. He's on the run for his life, and he's still worshiping the Lord. And then Hushai, the Archite, was waiting for him there. Hushai had torn his clothing and put dirt on his head as a sign of mourning. But David told him, listen, he said, listen, you can't go with me because you're gonna be a burden. Your life is gonna be placed in my hands. But because you are a good friend, and I just prayed to the Lord, I have this idea. I'm gonna send you back to my son Absalom. And I want you to see him. And when you see him, say, now I would like to be your advisor, O king. Go ahead and call him king. He likes that. Make him believe it. And then say this, just as I was your father's advisor in the past, I'll be here for you, is what he's saying. And then he said, but then, when he trusts you, then you can frustrate his plans. You can confuse his advice. Here's what David is saying. He's saying, listen, you're a good friend of mine. You are loyal. I want you to go back, pretend that you're for Absalom, but really you're gonna be a mole. You're gonna confuse his advice, and then you're gonna give me the information so that I can win the battle. And he said, okay. We need friends like that, huh? Friends that will go out to battle for us. It's a spiritual fight every single day, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. So you need friends ready to pray for you and battle with you for the Lord's sake. And so I wanna share this with you very quickly. There's a lot of qualities of a good friend according to the Bible, but these two stand out, and this is all I have time to share with you guys today. But I wanna share these two qualities of a good friend according to the Bible. The first thing is this, real friends are loyal. Real friends will be loyal. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. A real friend will be there for you in times of need. And this doesn't mean, you know, that they need to talk to you every single day, because I also believe a real friend means that you cannot talk to each other for a while, and the moment you call each other, like, you're good. It's like you never missed a conversation. You get it. Maybe they have a family, you have a family, and you're busy. It's okay that you can't talk every day, but when you really need them, they are there. They're loyal to you. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends, that you're able to lay some things down to help your friend, to benefit your friends. Okay, a good friend is loyal. Second is this, though. This is very important. Real friends keep confidence. Meaning they're not gonna share your secrets. They're not just gonna gossip about the things that are happening in your life. And I'm saying this, but I want you to evaluate your friendships. Because maybe right now you feel like you're in a season of frustration because so-and-so has betrayed you. So-and-so doesn't care about you anymore. Were they really good friends in the first place according to the Bible? Had they always gossiped about you? Had they always told people about your business? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13, a gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. Let me say it like this, talkers lose friends. People that post too much drama on social media lose friends. Why? Because others believe that they can't trust you. They can't tell you the things going on in their life because you may blast it out to everybody else. And so maybe you're wondering, maybe it's you. Why nobody's in your life? Because you have shared so many secrets of people that trusted you. A good friend keeps confidence. So here it is. Hushai is a good friend. He leaves. And immediately now, a fake friend comes out of the woods, comes out of the woodworks. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. When David had gone a little beyond the summit of the Mount of Olives, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth. Okay, I'm gonna do my best to explain who that is. Ziba is Mephibosheth's servant. Mephibosheth is Jonathan's son. Who is Jonathan? Jonathan is King Saul's son. And if you remember, we didn't go over this in the story, but Jonathan was David's best friend. When we talk about a loyal friend, even though King Saul wanted to kill David, Jonathan was always there for him. But Jonathan's son is Mephibosheth, and he has a servant named Ziba. Okay, there we go. All right, so he was waiting for them there, and he had two donkeys loaded with 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisin, 100 bunches of a summer fruit, and a wineskin full of wine. And I can't help but notice that the man that's really there for David just came saying, what do you need? But the man that wanted to get something from David came with gifts, came with flattery. I just noticing that now. He said, what are these plans for? The king asked him, David said. And Ziba replied, the donkeys are for the king's people to ride on, And the bread and the summer fruit are for the young men to eat. The wine is for those who become exhausted in the wilderness. I just thought you might need some of this. I just showed up in the woods randomly, and I brought you a lot of stuff. Even though I'm a servant, shouldn't have any of this stuff, I brought it all to you. And so David looks around and goes, all right, where's Mephibosheth? Where's my friend? And then he says, oh, Ziba's like, oh, he went back to Jerusalem. And he went back to Jerusalem because he said, okay, David's gone, so maybe he can take his position back in the kingdom. And what was he doing? He was hurting David's heart. David is in the wilderness running for his life. He just found out that he has been betrayed by his best friend Ahithophel. And now this servant has come out of nowhere telling him that another friend of his has betrayed him and left him, but randomly brought him gifts. And David got angry and said to Ziba, you know what? I'm going to give you everything Mephibosheth owns. Okay, just have it all. And then Ziba replied, I bow before you. I bet he did. May I always be pleasing to you, my lord, the king. Ziba was a liar. He was a liar. How do we know that he lied? Because we see this later on. God always reveals the truth. Okay, you think you're getting away with it? You're not. God will always reveal the truth. 2 Samuel 19, 26 and 27, Mephibosheth sees David later on. Says, my lord, the king, my servant Ziba deceived me. I told him to saddle my donkey so that I can go to the king. He was telling Ziba, hey, put all these gifts on the donkey. I want to go help the king. But it says that he also is a crippled man. Mephibosheth was a crippled man. So Ziba actually slandered his name, stole his stuff, stole his donkey, and pretended like it was all his idea. Have you ever had anybody do that? Pretend that your idea was their idea and try to steal everything away from you. God will always reveal the truth. Hallelujah. Just trust the Lord, okay? But we see that he was lying. But David's first mistake is that he only heard one side of the story. So again, in leadership, especially within ministry, as a pastor, you always need to hear both sides of the story. And let me also say this, real friends shouldn't have a problem with that. Because if they're telling you the truth, they don't have a problem with that. But fake friends who are lying to you, guess what they're gonna do? Oh, no, you don't need to talk to them. Why do you wanna talk to them? I've already told you the story. Oh, are you saying I'm a liar? You don't believe me? Listen, do not allow somebody to gaslight you and to hear what they want you to hear only. Because the Bible tells us that means that we can hear both sides of the story so that we know truly what is happening. That is good leadership, and that's how you can tell good friends in your life too. Who was actually trying to help you and who was trying to take from you. Now, this one made me laugh because David's just running for his life. And all these crazy people keep coming out of nowhere. Like, it just keeps happening over and over again. And so now he gets away from the fake friend. He made a real friend. He had a fake friend. And now just a crazy man comes out of the woods that's related to King Saul, and he just starts cursing at David and throwing stones at him. 2 Samuel 16, 5 through 7. King David came to Bahurim. A man came out of the village cursing him. It was Shimei, son of Gera, from the same clan as Saul's family. He threw stones at the king and the king's officers and all the mighty warriors who surrounded him. And he said, get out of here, you murderer. David's just like, what is up with this day? Like, why is everybody attacking me? He's like, get out of here, you bloodthirsty murderer. You scoundrel, you stole the kingship from Saul, from my family. Everything that he shouted were false accusations. That was not David's character. Remember, David did not want to hurt Saul. Saul was extremely jealous and lost his kingship. But can we all relate to this? Doesn't the devil do this a lot? When you feel broken or your heart has been broken, you feel like you're going through a hard season, all of a sudden there's that one random person and you're like, who are you? Like, where did you come from? Why are you throwing stones at me? Why are you cursing me out right now? I don't know you, right? 2 Samuel 16, 9 through 12. This kind of made me laugh. Why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Abishai, son of Zeruiah, demanded, let me go over there and cut off his head. We all got friends like that too, don't we? Immediately when somebody says something, let me cut off their head. Like, hold up, okay. Let's not take it to that level. Even Jesus had Peter cutting off people's ears way too early. We got friends like that. But David said, no. And he said, who asked your opinion? You sons of Zeruiah. If the Lord has told him to curse me, who are you to stop him? Then David said to Abishai and to all of his servants, my own son is trying to kill me, guys. Doesn't this relative of Saul have even more reason to do so? Leave him alone. Let him curse me, for the Lord has told him to do it, maybe. And perhaps the Lord will see that I'm being wrong and he's gonna bless me because of these curses today. God is gonna see my character right now, which reveals to us something else that's very important. Trials and critics reveal your true character. And it's not fun to go through, but we have to. Trials and critics will reveal your true character in the moment. What I love about David, here it is, he didn't care about the critics. He could care less about the critics. Why? Because first of all, the critic was a distraction. Do you see that? He was just a distraction. He wasn't the real enemy. He wasn't Absalom. Like, he wasn't gonna do anything to him. He's just like a little toddler throwing sticks and stones at him and saying things, but that's all he was doing. Some of us get so involved with the little critics over what they're saying when it's not even the battle we're supposed to be fighting. We're free from that. That is a distraction of the devil. Keep chasing the real victory that the Lord has for you. Fight the real fight. David did not care, but also listen, because David trusted the Lord, he made Shimei look like a liar. That's what happens when you walk in obedience to the Lord. Why? Because Shimei said, you are a bloodthirsty murderer. If he was, he would have killed him right there. He would have done it right there. But he didn't. David's still a broken man. And God, I know that I am messed up. I have wrongs in my life. And so, Lord, this person is coming at me. Maybe I deserve it. But I'm gonna leave them in your hands. And please, God, bless me today. And then notice what happened after that, verse 13 and 14. David and his men continued down the road. Shimei kept pace with them on the nearby hillside, cursing and throwing stones and dirt at David. Some critics don't just leave you alone right away. Sometimes they follow you and they keep throwing things at you. But the king and all who were with him grew weary along the way, and they rested when they reached the Jordan River. Even when stones were thrown by people, David always found rest from God. And so let me say it like this. Are you allowing the stones of other people to get to you, or are you allowing the peace of God to get to you? Because that's your choice. You could hold on to every word that they've said, everything that they're trying to do, the hurt, the betrayal of friends that used to be there for you, or you can just say, you know what, I'm gonna let go of that and I'm gonna hold on to the peace of God instead. And that's what forgiveness does. But this leads to my last point, which is this. God will always help you in supernatural ways. There's actually a lot of things that God did supernaturally after this. I don't have time to go over them all, so I highlighted two. The first thing is this: God answered David's prayer. God will always answer your prayer. What did David pray? He said, I want you to make the advice of Ahithophel look foolish. So his friend Hushai goes back to Absalom and he speaks to his vanity. He pretty much says, hey, you're a great king, Absalom. You're amazing. You're a mighty warrior. I just wanna be here for you. And so Absalom fell for it because he loved himself. He said, okay, now he's got two counselors and he's got Ahithophel who hates David. And then he has Hushai who is a mole for David, trying to help David. And he asked them advice and Ahithophel says, you know what? It's time to attack right now. It's time to go after David right now and we can win this battle. But Hushai steps up as a good friend, risking his life and says, No, David's a mighty warrior. You remember that, right? He's got his mighty men with him. He was speaking about David from the past because he knew David right now was tired and weak and hurt. But he said, listen, you can't go against him right now. And then he started to speak to Absalom and he says to Absalom, listen, you don't need a counselor. You don't need Ahithophel. You can ride in yourself and win this war. So Absalom liked everything that he was saying. And so he believed that and he followed Hushai's advice instead of Ahithophel. Listen, here's what I'm trying to tell you. God was working behind the scenes. Something that David was not in control of, God was working out. He's doing the same thing for you. There's a situation that all you can do is pray about it, and God is working behind the scenes, sending the right people and the right friends at the right time, doing things for your behalf. And the story kind of took a dark turn after this, so when Ahithophel's advice wasn't taken, he decided to commit suicide. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23, when Ahithophel realized that his advice had not been followed, he saddled his donkey and went to his hometown. He set his affairs in order, and he hanged himself, and he died there and was buried in the family tomb. He killed himself not because of hurt feelings, but because he knew. He was a smart man in this way. He knew that now Absalom was going to lose because he didn't follow his advice, and he would be dead for his act of treason against the nation of Israel. So he took his own life. And I thought that this was very interesting. David honored his friends. And even though they tried to hurt him, David never really hurt them. He just gave it over to the Lord. What happened to King Saul? King Saul fell on his own sword when he was fighting the Philistines. David never touched him. And now here's Ahithophel who tried to ruin David, tried to hurt him, tried to bring up his past mistakes. He committed suicide. David never had to touch either one of them, but it also reveals to us that on the outside, it could look like you're putting your house in order, but on the inside, your soul is so damaged and broken. And so today, right now, if you feel like you're at a loss and you don't know what to do, I'm here to tell you that God loves you so much. You were created for a purpose. Don't ever believe the lie that this world is better off without you. Keep working for the Lord. He's got good things for you. We got to go through the trials. We got to go through the pain. We got to make mistakes to see his love and to get into his promise. But second is something supernatural, and this is something I've never seen before. The Bible tells us that when they went to war, 20,000 men died, but not so much because of the sword. Listen to this, because of the forest. 2 Samuel 18, 7 and 8, and the Israelite troops were beaten back by David's men. There was a great slaughter that day, and 20,000 men laid down their lives. The battle raged all across the countryside, and more men died, here it is, because of the forest than they did the sword. And the Bible's not very clear on what took place, but we do know that it was supernatural. And maybe it was the swamps. Maybe there were pits in the ground. Maybe it was the wild animals. We're from the south. Maybe it was mosquitoes. Mosquitoes come from the pit of hell, okay? That's exactly where they came from. They need to go back, all right? We don't know, but we know that something supernatural was happening. And I never looked at that before, because it's interesting, because Absalom dies in the woods. He gets caught up in a tree with his hair. 2 Samuel 18, 9. During the battle, Absalom happened to come upon David's men. He tried to escape on his mule, but as he rode beneath the thick branches of the great tree, his hair got caught in the tree. His mule kept going and left him, and he was dangling in the air. And something I haven't mentioned yet is that Absalom, according to 2 Samuel 14, 20, 25, and 26, he was a good-looking dude. The Bible says that he has no blemish at all. He had so much hair, he cut it once a year, that when he cut it, it weighed 5 pounds. You know what I mean? It was just hair just flowing in the wind, you know, as he's like riding. So ladies, imagine whatever you want to. Jason Momoa is hanging from a tree, all right? And I couldn't help but notice, though, what gave him his vanity also became his downfall. And notice that there. But David did not want the men to hurt him. We see this in 2 Samuel 18, 5. And he gave a command to his people. He said, listen to the troops. Or he said to them, for my sake, deal gently with my young son, Absalom. Bring my son back home. Don't kill him. Don't hurt him. But Joab didn't listen. 2 Samuel 18, 14 and 15. When Joab saw him hanging in the woods, caught and trapped, he said, enough of this nonsense. Then he took 3 daggers and plunged them into Absalom's heart as he dangled, still alive, in the great tree. Then 10 of Joab's young armor bearers then surrounded Absalom and killed him. Here's another thing that's interesting. As Absalom used 10 women, it took 10 young men to bring him to death. Again, just sow what you reap. And now the war's over. David is king. He has victory from the Lord. But his father is broken. His heart hurts. 2 Samuel 18:33, it says the king was overcome with emotion. And he went up to the room over the gateway and burst into tears. And he cried out, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. If only I had died instead of you, my son Absalom." And I prayed to the Lord, because how do I end that? We're so used to the miracles happening at the end of the story, but I really felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, not only do you learn from the miracles, you also learn from the tragedies. And this is something we all need to learn, that we don't need to wait until it's too late to say what we need to say. To the people that we love, to the relationships that have been damaged. Do you see here that David is finally expressing his love over his son, but now his son is gone? The thing that caused the bitterness from the very beginning. See, David still knew it all came from him. Even though Absalom rebelled and was all about himself, he knew that it happened because of his adultery with Bathsheba. He still held himself accountable, and he knew that he should have said, "I'm sorry," about a lot of things as a father. But he did it until it was too late. So don't wait until it's too late to say the things that you need to say. And forgive. Move forward. Stop staying stuck in the past. But how do we forgive friends who have betrayed us? Very quickly, 4 points to help you out. The first thing, don't take revenge. Give them over to God. Remember, David said, he prayed to the Lord immediately and said, "Please confuse their advice." The second thing is this, you always need to hear both sides of the story. There's always two sides of every story. See who's a real friend and who's not. The third thing is you need to place biblical boundaries if needed. Because the Bible is also very clear, 1 Corinthians 15:33, that bad company will corrupt good character over time. But the last part, this is the hardest, but I need you to hear me. Don't stop making new friends. Don't just become so hurt by what someone else did that you start to say, "Well, I can never trust anybody again," because that is a lie of the devil. That is the lie of the enemy. He wants you to be alone, because guess what? When you're just alone, doing life alone, you become more vulnerable to his attacks. And he starts to get inside of your head. You need somebody there that can encourage you and help you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10, if one person falls, the other person can reach out and help. But those who are alone, when they fall, have no one to help them. Jesus is trying to rescue you today from the hurt of other people, maybe even the hurt that you're holding on to yourself. So I'm gonna have you stand right here. Like I said, we're ending this series, and I've talked about a lot of things. And so right now, will you just close your eyes? Close your eyes. When we talked about hurt with family, with love, with those that you serve, right? We talked about hurting even yourself, holding yourself accountable to things that you haven't forgiven or let go. And today, fake friends, people that were supposed to be there for you but just weren't. And right now, if you're still holding on to a grudge and bitterness, and you're seeing it consume you, and you're tired of it, you're sick and tired of it, and you're ready to let go and experience freedom, will you just raise your hand up high right now? Right now, come on, Lord. Come on, God. God, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for everybody that's raising their hand in house, even online. If you're raising your hand right now, God sees you. And I pray right now, God, I pray, Lord, that you just deliver us from the bondage of bitterness. That demon of bitterness, I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. That demon of jealousy and hurt and pain and affliction, I command you to leave by the power and the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray right now, God, again, your arms are open wide for us to run into. And so I pray, God, as your children, we run into your arms right now. Lord, let there be healing. Release us, Father, right now. In Jesus' name, let us forgive. Let us stop staying stuck in the past hurt and move forward with new hope and promises for the future. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's sermon. If you've been blessed by this message, be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss future messages. And if you feel led to give to this ministry, check out the link in the description and see the other ways you can get connected.